So I am excited today to be back with you. I'm actually going to keep a promise that I made to you today. I told you that I was going to share with you a video clip that made me cry. And it did make me cry. It did. I feel I'm a little bit ashamed of that, but I'm telling you the truth. You're going to see what it is, and I'll bet it might make you cry too. I'll share with that with you today, but I'm really excited to actually finish up our sermons today on superheroes. We've had 6 sermons. This will be number 6 for superheroes, and today we will finish our series called Marvelous, You Were Made for More. And we're going to talk about, to me, what is one of the most relatable superheroes of the MCU. The MCU, by the way, is a Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're going to talk about Iron Man today. By the way, they have the coolest Iron Man shirts I've ever seen. They've got the little arc reactor in the middle and it glows. So we're going to pray and then we'll get started. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this series. I thank you for your word, for your creativity, and even in men, Lord, that may not necessarily be looking to you, we see your creativity. So I thank you that we've been able to talk about the Marvel superheroes and see how some of the things that are going on in that universe would relate to us as believers and what kind of spiritual messages we can learn from stories, God. It's such an exciting thing to be able to do this, Lord. I pray right now that you would bless our time together. Be with me as you use me as your vessel to bring this message. Be with the audience, Lord, as we seek to hear what you would have to share with us from your word today, Lord. And may we enjoy our time together. Bless those who are on their way, those who are with us online, God, as we get into today's message. So I'm going to break a cardinal rule. For anybody in here who is a speaker, if you've ever given a presentation, they tell you never use more than 90 seconds of video, because if you use more than 90 seconds of video, after 90 seconds, people are going to be like, I'm going to show you a 4-minute and 30-second clip. But here's what I'm betting. And if I'm wrong, just put toothpicks in your eyes and keep your mouth open like you're excited about it. But I'm betting this clip will be impactful. Listen, we have to do this. This is the perfect setup for us to talk about Iron Man. Just by show of hands, who has seen the Avengers movies? All right, good, okay. All right, so some of you all have seen it. I was searching for the perfect compilation to talk about Iron Man. And I was going to create the clip myself, but then I found something and I said, man, this is amazing. And then it started to flash, right? You can't show them this, oh, it's too long. I was like, I gotta do it. So, but I'm gonna give you a task while you're watching this. What I want you to do is while you're watching this clip, I just want you to think about what you see in this clip. If you notice any themes in this clip, that's what I want you to do. All right, if we can roll that clip.
You think you fight for us?
The only thing you really fight for is yourself.
I'm on the side of the shell. It's painted one word.
Stark.
Big man in a suit of armor. Take that off, what are you?
I'm just a man in a camp.
Stark?
He's dead. And I blame you.
And if you die, then I'm the man who killed the Avengers.
I think that's on me.
It's almost dead now. I felt it. The whole world too. Because of me.
You know what's about to happen. Say something. If you don't, you'll regret it.
You're gonna kill yourself, Tony. I'm not gonna be a part of it.
He's my friend. So was I.
So you're a man who has everything. And nothing.
Hey, Miss Potts. If you find this recording, don't feel bad about this. Part of the journey is the end. When I drift off, I will dream about you. Tommy's you. I shouldn't be alive. Unless it was for a reason. I'm not crazy, Pepper. I just finally know what I have to do. And I know in my heart that it's right. My armor, it was never a distraction. It was a cocoon. And now, I'm a changed man.
It's not about you. It's not even about us. It's about legacy. It's about what we choose to leave behind.
We're the Avengers. We can bust arms dealers all the live long day, but that up there, that's Endgame.
You were the only person with the means and knowledge to finish what he started.
You said that.
But one day you'll figure this out. And when you do, you will change the world. What is and always will be my greatest creation is you.
You can take away my house, all my tricks and toys. One thing you can't take away.
Earth just lost your best defender.
Stark. You know me?
I do. You're not the only one cursed with knowledge.
The only curse is you.
Stark. You know that's a one-way trip.
Tony Gates, we almost got this off! Start with something pure. Something exciting. Then come the mistakes. The compromises.
Yeah, my respect, Stark. I hope they remember you.
So, that is one of my favorite clips. That is not the clip I was talking about, though. I will show you that. There's a second clip that we're going to watch a little bit later on. But I love that clip because that clip gives you an idea about the character of Tony Stark. And you can see the title of this is Don't Waste Your Life. Out of all the characters in the MCU, Tony Stark is probably the most relatable for a lot of different reasons. For many of us, we wish that we had what Tony had. But Tony's also relatable because we can see Tony's change as he goes through the MCU. So, the first point is don't waste your life on selfish promotion and vain living. So Tony's a guy who's living life on his own terms. Tony is doing what he wants to, when he wants to, with whom he wants to. And Tony doesn't really ever answer to anybody. And every skill and skill and talent that Tony has, Tony uses for himself, towards his own end. There's a quote I want to share with you from Tony, and this is right from the movie. It says, but I'll try and paraphrase it for you. But it says, apparently I'm self-absorbed, only care about myself, and don't play well with others. And this is the Tony Stark that we see at the first Iron Man movie. Now we're gonna watch Tony's progression from where he starts to where he ends, and you'll see that Tony is a very different person. But all of us know people, right, who are self-centered. All of us know people who really only care about themselves. Some of us know people that are self-centered and only care about themselves, and you wonder why. Because apparently there's not a whole bunch great about them, but you know, it's good to think highly of yourself. But Tony actually can back it up. Let me give you some stats about Tony. Tony in the MCU is worth $80 billion. Certified genius, graduated from MIT at age 17 with 3 doctorate degrees. So Tony has a lot of stuff going for him in terms of who he is, and he is one of the smartest people in the MCU. The problem is Tony is wasting his life. But he doesn't know it yet. All the things that Tony has, all the trappings that Tony has, for us, when we look at that from the outside, we would be like, man, how awesome would it be? I want you just to think about right now. Think about how you would just feel if you had $80 billion sitting in your bank account. Some of y'all, if you checked your account right now and you saw that thing ring, whoop, 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 $80 billion, first thing you'd be like, I'm not coming in tomorrow. So Tony has tons of money, but not only that, Tony is extremely smart. One of the smartest people on Earth. As a matter of fact, I would suggest to you, within the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the only person that's probably smarter than Tony on Earth would be Shuri, the Black Panther's sister. Very, very smart. So Tony's got all this stuff going for him. It's not like he's some slacker. Tony is legitimately an awesome person. But here's the problem. Tony is wasting his life. And as we move through this message today, we'll see the change that happens with Tony. But one of the things I want to highlight here with us is how Tony is wasting his gifts and his talents. Now, we've talked about this before. All of us have gifts and talents. God has given all of us gifts. If you are a Christian here today, he has given you a gift. Everybody has one. I've shared this with you before. Now, you might not know what it is. You might think that you don't have it, but you do have it, because everybody gets a gift when they become a Christian to serve the body of Christ. But God wants us to do more than just serve him with our gifts. He also wants to serve him with our talents. And it's so funny, when I was a kid and I would hear God talk about serving us with gifts and talents, I used to think to myself, what's the difference here? And is it the case that if we have a God-given talent, something that we didn't get as a spiritual gift as a result of becoming a Christian, are we even supposed to use that for the service of God? And I would submit to you, yes. Every talent, everything that you have, should be used for God's glory. If we look at Philippians 2, verses 3 through 4, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Tony is not in that place right now, but that is where we are to be. In Exodus, if we look at Exodus 31, I don't believe I created a slide for this, but this goes to show you from Exodus 31 that even the talents God wants us to use for his glory. If we look at Oholiadad, I always have a hard time pronouncing that name, and Bezalel, they had talents. They had talents, and they used those talents to help build the tabernacle. So whatever you're doing in here, God wants you to use those talents for his glory. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the thing that you're doing right now and whether or not it's something that you really want to do. I've shared something like this with you before. Think about what you're doing right now, whether or not it's something that you really want to do, and then ask yourself, why am I not doing the thing that I want to do? Why am I not doing the thing that I feel like God has created me to do? We talked a little bit about this when we looked at Thor. What I want to do is I want to encourage you to find the thing that God has created you to do and do that for God's glory. It doesn't matter what it is. I want you to understand, when I talk about doing something for God's glory, I'm not necessarily talking about something that's directly ministry related. Maybe you love working on cars. Maybe you love music. I don't know what it is, but what I do know as believers, if God has given us a gift for something, if God has given us a passion for something, it is not supposed to be for ourselves. When we look at the whole example of what Christ came to do, the Bible says Christ came to serve, right? So our life should be categorized by service. We should be doing things for others and not for ourselves. Now, the interesting part about this is we get tricked by our flesh. We get tricked by the idea, right, that we're going to be happy if we chase our own desires. And if we can sink ourselves into just getting that thing that we want so that we can buy that house, that car, so that we can call our boss and be like, you remember when you wrote me up for being late last week? Got some news for you. I'm going to be late for the rest of my time because I quit. We have a hard time getting out of our own ways. And this is a war between what's going on in us spiritually, because spiritually, there is that part of us that wants to serve God. We want to be in the service of others. But then there's the flesh where we want to serve ourselves. And the irony of it is that despite the fact of characters like Stark that we're going to look at today, despite the fact of what we hear from the wealthiest people in the world, stuff does not satisfy you. And the people that are most fulfilled in this world are people that are serving others. There's something about that quality of giving what you have in service to others. But for some reason, we get stuck in this circle of chasing our tail and trying to build this legacy for ourselves. And this is where Tony is when we start in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But Tony starts to change, and he changes in that first movie. What happens, for those of you all who haven't seen it, is in the first movie, the way that the whole Iron Man character comes about is Tony goes to a war zone to promote his weaponry. Stark Industries, they create weapons. So he goes to a war zone to promote the weapons that he's creating, and he gets injured in the war zone. And as a result of that, he has to create the Iron Man suit to get out. But what happens in that war zone is that Tony finds out that the weapons that he was creating are actually being used to harm people. And that experience is so impactful for Tony that when he gets out of the war zone, when he finally gets rescued, he goes back to the States and he disbands the weapons-making section of Stark Industries. That's Tony's first step into change. It's his first step into thinking, I'm doing something that's harming others. I need to be thinking about what I can do outside of what I'm doing right now that will actually encourage and help other people. So the first point today is that you should be doing, or you should be serving others. You should not be caught up with serving yourselves. Think about that when we leave here today, as you're going about your life, as you're going about your job, how can I serve others? So before we move on to our next point, I want to share something with you that I've kind of adopted. I'm not sure if I shared this story with you, but I thought it was really interesting. I had a student, I can't remember if I shared this with you or not, but you're going to hear it again. I had a student at MC, at Montgomery College, where I am now, that was looking to see a counselor, and she emailed me, and I didn't recognize the name, and I was like, wow, I know that name. So then I called the student back, and she said, you don't remember me, do you? And I said, no, I don't remember you. This was a girl that I was her school counselor when she was in second grade. She was in second grade, and she said, I remembered you. And when I saw your name here at MC, I thought, I'm going to get in contact with you to help me schedule my classes. That encounter really shook me up. And now with most of my students at MC, we kind of have an open scheduling. You don't have a particular counselor. We see all of each other's students. But I want you to come back and see me. My hope is that I'm serving you so well that I want you to come back and see me. I want to have a relationship with you. So that's the goal. I want to be able to serve, and it happens to be a job that I really enjoy. So the first point that I want you to recognize today is that you should be serving others. Let that be your mentality. So we see Tony's first step towards change is when he begins to move out of himself, and then he begins to move in the service of others. Point number two, we have to deal with our trauma to grow. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you." Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." So, as Tony moves through the MCU, Tony's got a whole bunch of issues going on. Tony is dealing with a whole bunch of trauma. One of the biggest things that Tony is dealing with is a lack of relationship with his father. Now, some of you all might recognize that today. It might be your story today, but Tony is dealing with that. As a matter of fact, in a clip that we saw, that was Tony's father that tells him, "You've always been my greatest creation." But prior to that, Tony thought that his father wanted nothing to do with him. Tony says in the movies, "Listen, my father never hugged me. He never said anything to me. My old man never really even regarded me." But then Tony finds out later that his father really does love him. So he's dealing with this trauma from a hurt past from his parenting. He's also dealing with the aftermath of what happens in the Avengers movies. And you guys know this if you've seen the movies. Tony almost dies in the movies, and he develops this PTSD from it. So Tony has all this trauma going on, but the problem with Tony is that he does not deal with it in the beginning. He tries to tuck it under the rug. And it comes out. Listen, I've shared this with you before. It's impossible to have traumatic events in your life that have impacted you heavily and not deal with them. Eventually, they will destroy you. Because events with that much power, events with that much force, must be addressed. You cannot just let them go. And I will tell you right now, I've shared some details about this. I'm just going to give you a general statement. I'm dealing with stuff that happened to me before my 20s. I'm still working out in my life. I'm working through the trauma of those events. And for some of them, I would love to sweep under the rug. I would love to just cover them up and say that they're not there anymore. They won't let me. They're coming out in my life in ways that I don't appreciate. So sometimes I might be having a conversation with my wife and I might get upset at something that she says, and my response to her is to be upset with her, but then I have to realize it's not her. It's that from way back there. And it's coming up again, which tells me you still got some work to do, Al. So if you have trauma in your life, you've got to deal with your trauma. And until you do that, you really can't move forward and grow. Or if you do move forward, you're going to have limited growth because that trauma is going to come up again. And this is what happens with Tony. Tony's traumatic events have impacted him so much that he makes another decision as we're going through the movies that almost wipes out all of humanity. He loses his relationship with Pepper. All of this because he's not able to deal with his trauma. We saw in the clip that Pepper said, "Tony, you're going to kill yourself, and I'm not going to help you do it." You have to deal with trauma in your lives. And I feel like this is especially true for Christians because one of the things that we do or that we like to say, which is true, but not quite how it works itself out in actuality, is that, well, I know that God wants me to be this way. I know that God doesn't want me to feel this way. So with the snap of a finger, I'm just not going to feel this way anymore. God doesn't want me to feel this way. I'm just not going to feel this way. And you're not telling the truth to yourself. You're still hurt. But I don't know if there's something that we perceive as being spiritual about saying, because God is able to heal pain and we still hurt, that we act like we shouldn't. If you're hurt, you're hurt. Part of the relationship is to get that pain healed. Let him come in and heal the pain. Here's the problem, though, and Tony experiences this too. The issue is we want to be healed, but we don't want the byproduct of damage. The byproduct of damage is pain. It hurts to heal from things in our past. It hurts to think about that time that you may have been mistreated by a parent, you may have been abused, you may have been this, you may have been that. I don't know what it is for you, but I know that when we have traumatic events and they impact us on a gut level, a deep level, our natural instinct is to avoid the pain. And that is the service that a traumatic reaction does to you. What your body is doing when you resist dealing with it, your body is saying, no, we remember how much this hurt when it happened. And we're going to avoid everything we can to have that feeling again. So we don't address it. The issue is, you can't bury it. It won't stay dead. It's going to either impact you internally, you're going to be angry, you're going to be bitter, you're going to be sick, or it's going to come out externally, and you're not going to be a very nice person. You have to deal with trauma. So as we watch Tony go through in this series, Tony has to deal with his trauma. And he does begin to deal with his trauma. But it takes a lot of work for Tony to get through it. It takes the support of his friends. It takes Tony facing the pain of these things that happen in his life and working very hard to get over it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Matthew 11, 28 says, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What you should know about trauma is that God wants to heal you from trauma. But you can never be healed unless you face it. I'm going to tell you that you can never be whole unless you face it. I'm going to tell you that a lot of the life that you might have experienced, you will not experience unless you face it. Don't leave yourself stuck. Let God help you. We just read that he wants to help you. He's in the business of trauma care, right? That's what he does. Let him help you. Let him move you forward. He does not want you to be miserable, and none of us want to be miserable. Do not let your flesh trap you into thinking that if you sweep this under the rug, you can avoid it, because you cannot. It must be dealt with. And we see this happen with Tony. And the thing is, as it happens with Tony, what happens is he begins to change even more. Tony begins to become a better person. And you're going to see by the end of this message, the Tony that we talked about in the beginning is not the same Tony that we find at the end of these movies. Let's go on to point number 3. All right. This is perhaps my favorite point. Growth is a process. All right. So as we move through the movies, Tony begins to grow. Tony begins to change. Now, here's my point in saying growth is a process. For us, as we grow, that same thing applies to us spiritually. As we grow, as we live, we should become different. We should become changed. We should not be doing some of the same things that we've done before, but it is a process. All right? There are some things that some of us in here struggle with, we've been struggling with for years. And I know that that's right. I know it's right for some people in this room, not because no one's told me, because you're human. I know it's right for the people online. I know it's right for me. Some stuff we got going on that nobody know about. And we've had problems with it for years. And I think sometimes we get on ourselves and we get frustrated because we think, man, I cannot get past this. But we have to remember that growth is a process. It happens over a period of time. And we see this with Tony. We see that as Tony starts out living for himself, he begins to change his perspective. And the thoughts and feelings of others become important to him. Tony is growing. But Tony still has some hang-ups. He still has some things that he's dealing with. And he deals with those things over multiple movies. So I want to read to you, before I share what I'm about to share, I want to read to you Romans 7, verses 15 through 20. Familiar passage for a lot of us. It says, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do what I want, but the evil I do, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. For now I do what I want, for now I do what I do not want. It is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me." Let me say something about this verse. It is the most frustrating thing to me as a Christian that I have some things that I struggle with. You have some things that you struggle with, and we keep on doing it. And then you get mad at yourself because you're frustrated at your failure, but you do it again. Here's what's happening here. There's two sides going on. There is the Spirit of God, which is nudging us to do what's right, and that's why we get frustrated. But then there is the flesh who sold us on this idea, do it, because it's going to feel good. Just do it. And we are addicted to the pleasure. So we have this one side of us that's saying, do it. You know you want, you remember how it felt when you did it before. Oh, do it. Do it. But then there's this other side of us, don't do it. Don't do it. God is empowering you not to do this. You do not have to do this. This battle goes on with us constantly. And it goes on with everybody. So I want to share this message with you. If you think that you see some Christian that you hold in just super high esteem and you think that he or she never sins, you're wrong. They're subject to the same thing as the rest of us. They have the same struggle. And it's just so frustrating because this war is going on. But what you will notice eventually is some of the stuff that you used to struggle with, I want you just to think about it in your minds. Years ago, you might think to yourself, oh, I don't have a problem anymore. Sometimes you recognize the fall off because you did a lot of work to get better and to move forward. Sometimes you recognize the fall off, or sometimes you don't recognize the fall off. You just notice that, man, I don't have to have that extra cookie. I don't have to eat the whole box of Krispy Kremes. Now I want a donut. These things just tend to fall off, but growth is a process. It doesn't just happen overnight. And I think that that's one of the things that makes Tony's character so recognizable and so attractive to us, is we see Tony start in this place and struggle to get better. And Tony does some amazing things, but when Tony takes two steps forward, we'll see him take five steps back. And we're like, oh. But isn't this a representation of us at times? You know, I always think back to my college years when I was just like doing it, I feel like, for God. I was part of Campus Crusade for that. Pastor Duane is here. You might remember I was doing all this stuff. I was on fire. I was the spiritual man. No, I'm just joking. But I felt so much more in tune with the work of God. And then something just kind of happened. It's like an apathy rolled over me. And I wasn't excited about some of the things that I was excited about then. And I felt almost static, like I wasn't growing much at all. And then I would have these times where I would have the spiritual boom and I would take these steps up in spiritual elevation, and now I'm feeling better. And then something would happen, and I take two steps back. And my life would ebb and flow like that. And I would get frustrated because I would think to myself, dude, you've been saved since 5 years old. You should have, like, by now memorized the Bible in 20 different languages. Like, you should be so much further along than you are. Why are you still here? You're not a very good Christian, are you? And sometimes I feel that way. But here's the interesting thing, and we see this with Tony's life. You will see Tony's character, some of the things that he does will ebb and flow during the movies, but if you track Tony over time, you will see he continues to grow. It's the same thing with us. When I think about my life over time, I can see growth. And some of the things that I had issues with back then, I no longer have issues with today. I'm growing. I'm getting better. But it is a process. Now, some people refer to this as something called progressive sanctification. And in layman's terms, it just means the process of becoming more like the image of Christ as time goes by. It's a beautiful thing because it's an interactive process between us and God, right? And it's a powerful process. The more that we stay connected with God, the more that we lean on Him to grow, the more powerful the impact of our relationship with Him is on our lives. If, as a matter of fact, I would suggest to you that if you are feeling stuck, or that if you are feeling like you're not making much forward progress, check your connection with God. Now, I'm going to tell you some stuff that's super basic. You've heard it before. Preachers say it all the time. Pray, read your Bible, come to church. Everybody, you've heard, I don't even know how to make that statement have more impact for you. You've heard it so much. But it's so true. If you are neglecting those basics, you will stall. You have to be doing that. You have to be connecting with God, living life with God, not looking at this as something that's necessarily a list of do's and don'ts, but something that we're doing together. God and I are doing life together, and do that with Him together, consistently together. And if you're not doing that, then what you'll find is you'll find yourself in a place where you get stuck. Growth is a process. A couple of verses I want to read here before we move on to our final point. 2 Peter verse 3, chapter 18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15, "Practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that you may see your progress." I love that verse. I love that verse. I'm going to read that again. "Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that you may see your progress." Woo, that's a good verse right there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that you may grow up into salvation." All of the things that these verses have in common is that they are growth verses. They're all action verses, aren't they? It doesn't. There's no verse that we just read to say, do a thing and bam, you're going to be this. It's telling you to do, to act progressively. And as you act, you will grow. And this is what we see with Tony. As we move through the MCU, he grows, and Tony becomes something amazing, something that a lot of us would never ever expect from him. Now, we're coming to our last point. Before we do, I'm going to set up another clip. I'm going to violate my rule again, because this is a longer clip. But this is worth it, because I told you that I would show you a clip that made me cry. And sweet mercy, Jesus, please don't let me cry up here today. But every time I see this man, I'm not going to lie, like, it gets me right here, and I'm thinking, oh, man. I don't think I have a tissue, but get him ready. I might need it. So let me show you what's happening. Let me just kind of set this up for you all here. If we could put up the picture of Dr. Strange talking to, yes. So we're at the end of it all now, the final battle between the Avengers and Thanos. And Doctor Strange, who is in that picture there, has an ability to see all outcomes. He can see all possibilities. And he tells Tony that you have one chance in 14 million. for this to work. Just one shot. But the problem is, he doesn't tell Tony when to take that shot. He doesn't tell Tony what to do to make it work. All he tells them is that you've got one shot to make it work. So we're going to watch a clip. I feel my jaw shaking. It's shaking. Can y'all see that? Man. Oh, thank you, brother. Hey, I might need it. Woo. All right. So we're going to watch one of my favorite clips from all of the Marvel movies. And right now, you are about to see the culmination of change. We said in the beginning not to waste your life. Make sure that you pour your life into the service of others. Life should be sacrificial. I want you to watch this clip. It is a longer clip. Same thing as I said before. If you're sleepy, too fixed in the eyes, open your mouth. I'll never know the difference. But watch what happens here as we show this final clip.
Mr. Stark. Hey. Mr. Stark, can you hear me? It's Peter. Hey. We won. Mr. Stark. We won, Mr. Stark. We won. You did it, sir. You did it. I'm sorry, Tony.
Friday.
Life functions critically.
Tony. Okay. Look at me. We're gonna be okay. You can rest now.
Okay, man, that's a powerful clip, you guys. Oh my gosh. So Tony goes from being this self-absorbed, all about self person to at the end of almost 20-something movies, giving his life to save humanity. Kind of reminds us of someone, minus the other stuff, the self-absorbed, but it reminds us of who? Reminds us of Christ. Tony in this movie, in that scene, is a type of Christ. This scene always gets me so much because, we'll move on to our next point. This is our final point. This scene gets me so much because Tony had everything to lose. Now, what you didn't see is a part of the movie that I'll share with you right now. When they're talking about going back to try and engage Thanos one more time to win, Tony tells Captain America, "I'll do this, but one thing I cannot do is I cannot lose what I've gained. I've got to protect what I have now at all cost." And he was talking about his marriage to Pepper, and they had a daughter. But at the end of the day, Tony saw that if his one shot was going to require him to sacrifice his life and even lose that which he loved, he was willing to do it. Are we willing to do whatever it takes? That is our final point. And I'm not going to be long with this point. I just want you to think about something. Now listen to this, because I thought about this as I was preparing for this. Our faith is built on whatever it takes. Now, let me show you what I mean. If we read Matthew, man, I feel the works coming. Stop it. All right. Whew. All right. If we read Matthew 26, verse 39, and this is from the TPT version. So if you're, most of us are not using that version, so it might sound a little different, but I want you to listen to it because I love the language. It says, "Then he walked a short distance away, and overcome with grief, he threw himself face down on the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if there is any way you can deliver me from this suffering, please take it from me. Yet what I want is not important, for I only desire to fulfill your plan for me.' Then the angels from heaven appeared and strengthened him." Our faith is built on whatever it takes. What I love about that passage is that God, or Jesus, is asking God, is there another way we can get this done?
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Can we do this? I don't want to go through this. But at the end of the day, he says, but it's not about what I want. Remember, we're talking about not wasting our lives. We're talking about pouring out ourselves in sacrificial service to others. And he says, at the end of the day, if this is what you want, if this is what it takes, then I will do that. So in this final point, the question that I want you to ask yourself is, are you willing to do whatever it takes in service to our Savior? That is the question. Our final verse is Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Very, very popular verse. A lot of you all know this. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Iron Man's character is so impressive to me because we see the arc and the change that occurs over Iron Man's life. And we can think of ourselves a little bit like this. We can see ourselves in one place, and as we move throughout life, hopefully we are growing. Hopefully we are growing in our connection with God and others. Hopefully we are growing in this whole idea or this notion that my life is not supposed to be self-serving. It is supposed to be committed to the service of others. And we see Iron Man make this journey until at the very end, committing the ultimate sacrifice and sacrificing himself so that the rest of the universe can live. And we see this very same example in Jesus. And then he goes on to tell us, I want you to interact with the world in the same way that I have interacted with you, in the same way that I have served you, so much so that I died for you. That is the outlook that we should have as we live this life. Don't waste your life. Let your life be about service. Let God use you in your life. Find that thing that you love to do, and whatever it is, like I said, it doesn't have to necessarily be something in the church. It could be sweeping floors, but you're going to do that to the glory of God. That is the outlook that we should have on our lives. Don't waste your life. Let's pray. God, I thank you just for our time together. And I thank you, Lord, oh mercy, for your service to us, Lord, and how there was nothing off the table for you. You came and you died for us because it was the only way to save us. You show us what sacrifice is. As we follow your life in Scripture, Lord, you show us what it looks like to live a life that's meaningful, a life that's not wasted. God, I pray for us here today that you would help us to live a life of serving you in whatever we're doing, whether it be something that we're doing here at church, it could be our normal jobs, Lord. Let always our outlook be one of service to you and your glory. Help us to get there, God. It's hard. We know it's a process, Lord. We struggle, Lord, with things that we keep doing over and over again, Lord. Give us the mind and the heart to move forward. We know that you want us to move forward, and your word says you will give us the power to do so, Lord. Help us to lend our hearts to the effort, God, and support us and help us to grow. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to ask Brother Dave to... Oh, I'm sorry. No. Forgive me, you all. Okay. Before I ask Brother Dave to come up. So, again, this is the culmination of this series. It's been a lot of fun. I hope that you all have enjoyed it. But if you are a fan of the Marvel movies, and I'm just a big fan of Marvel just period. I'm just a Marvel guy. One of the themes that we see through with what we did today was sacrifice. And there might be some folks in here that don't know about the sacrifice that Christ made for us. It's an interesting thing. They say that a lot of people now are not even really familiar with the biblical person of Christ. It's just kind of where we are in today's society. But if you're not, let me tell you, Jesus came to this earth, real person like you and I, but he was sinless, never sinned at all, and his whole purpose for coming was to save us from our sins. So if you are here today and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, whether you're in the building with us, whether you're with us online, he wants you to know that he came as a willing sacrifice to offer you salvation. And the only thing that he requires for us is for us to be honest with ourselves. And when I say that, I mean to admit that we are sinners. And I say this all the time. You know that you are. All of us are. There's nobody that can say, I've never sinned. And because of that, Christ says, listen, I'm sending my son to die to forgive your sins. And if you accept his sacrificial death on the cross, I'm going to give you eternal life. And all you need to do is accept the gift. So if you're here in the audience today, if you're with us online and you've never done that, but you recognize the need for a Savior, you recognize the need for the gift that God is offering us, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You can simply repeat after me. There is no magic in these words, as you often hear myself or Pastor Dwayne say. This is really about the attitude of your heart. Let's pray. If you want to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, just simply repeat after me. Lord, I recognize that I'm a sinner. If I'm being honest with myself, I admit that I've done things that are wrong. And I accept the fact that you came to the earth to die on the cross for my sins. And I ask that you come into my heart and save me from my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. So if there's anybody in the house today that prayed that prayer, we do have some folks that are standing in the back. You can see Sister Tanya's there in the back. She has the red dress on. And she is there for you to talk to. You can talk to me. I will be up front. And we can tell you what your next steps are, right? What do you do next? You just accepted the greatest gift that you can ever accept. What do you do next? How do you grow? How do you move forward? If you are online, there are a couple of ways that you can do that. You should be seeing that on your screen right now. Any number of ways you see on the screen, you can contact us through text by going to encounterchurch.net/next. You can also text the word next to 301-804-2525, and someone will get back in contact with you as well. All right, so I'm going to ask Brother Gene Julian to come up and to close us out. Thank you.
Amen. That was a great word. That was a great word. Al, I thank you for your authenticity. You know, you're just so open, so honest. And I've known you since middle school. I was waiting for you to cry. You know, I've never seen this brother cry before. So this is serious, folks. So if he cried at this movie, it's serious. So I just praise God for you. That God is in the business of trauma care. That's so powerful. God is in the business of trauma care, and to not live selfishly, not to do things for selfish gain and vain conceit. So thank you, brother. Thank you for that. Have a verse. It is now our time for giving. Let me read a verse from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. It is now our time for giving. I'm going to pray for our giving. Our ushers are going to go around. You can look on the screen if you're at home. There are many ways for you to give. You can give through Cash App. You can give through Givelify. You can give on our website as well. If you are in-house, our ushers are coming around, and you can give the old traditional way. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for that wonderful word. Lord, I thank you for my brother, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for his authenticity and how genuine and open and broken he is, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that you are in the business of trauma care. That's so powerful. That's so good, Lord. That, Lord, even for us to be able to give of ourselves to others, Lord, we have to take care of things, Lord, that have gone on with us. So thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you have gifted us, Lord, to be able to bless others. Not to highlight ourselves, but to bless others, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, that you would refresh our brother. Lord, give him peace. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen him. Lord, that you would place a hedge around his mind and his heart. Lord, that you would encourage him, Lord, after bringing such a powerful word to us. And Lord, right now as we give, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would bless our time of giving, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.